Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am Ursula Rudenberg, your host for this hour. Well, it's definitely April. There's going to be rain and thunderstorms today and tonight, and some fog on Tuesday early morning, which can be very beautiful early in the morning. Tuesday we'll also see rain, but temperatures will go up into the 70s, and likelihood of rain will continue through Wednesday. Sun is predicted to return later that day with clear skies at night and sunny weather on Thursday with a high around 71. It looks like at least partial sun will continue on into the next weekend, so we may have another beautiful weekend like the one we just had. The COVID-19 count for Central Iowa continues as of this morning with 23 positive tests in Story County, Boone County 7, Hardin 6, Hamilton 7, Webster County 4, and Marshall County with 380, Dallas 169, and so far all counties with no reported deaths. Polk County has 732 tested positive with 24 deaths, and Tama County 263 with 7 deaths. Governor Kim Reynolds is lifting Iowa's ban on non-essential surgeries, allowing farmers markets to open again today. And we'll make further announcements this morning about easing restrictions that were imposed on businesses to slow the spread of COVID-19. Dennis Hart will report on the governor's announcements during his news report tonight at 7 p.m. Also, please note a program change at KHOI at noon when a repeat of Local Talk was usually aired. We are now airing children's stories and family information. Here is Dennis Hart with a summary of the news from the past week. Dennis?
Thanks very much. It's good to be here on this Monday evening. As it has for so many weeks now, the coronavirus dominated the news around Iowa this past week. The statewide death toll from the virus kept going up, reaching 127 by today. And the number of people infected with the virus went up as well, reaching more than 5,800 by today, including 25 in Story County. In a news conference this morning, Governor Kim Reynolds announced that businesses in 77 of Iowa's 99 counties, including Story and Boone counties, can start operating again in a limited fashion starting Friday. Those businesses include restaurants, fitness centers, retail stores, and libraries, which can open at 50% capacity. Malls can also open at 50% capacity, but play areas and food courts inside must stay closed. In addition, the governor lifted restrictions on church gatherings statewide as long as social distancing guidelines are followed. The governor extended all other existing closures through May 15th. Last week, she had lifted the state's ban on non-essential surgeries and said she would allow farmers' markets to open again starting today, Monday. Also last week, the governor announced the state would roll out a new online portal, as well as drive-through testing sites, to help increase testing capabilities for the coronavirus. The state has hired a group of private companies to set up the new system. The new website, testiowa.com, asks a series of questions about users' health, travel, and possible exposure to people infected with the virus. In addition, the governor said a testing strike team would be sent to Tama County to try to get a handle on a coronavirus outbreak at a long-term care center there. As for the drive-through testing sites, the first one opened this past Saturday in downtown Des Moines. Governor Reynolds said that a tip from actor Ashton Kutcher had led her to the company she hired to run Iowa's $26 million testing program. Kutcher, who is an Iowa native, had been talking to the governor about an announcement he was going to narrate, urging Iowans to stay home during the coronavirus pandemic. He told her about companies he knew about that had just set up a testing program in Utah. The governor also announced the state was taking new steps to detect the virus in long-term care facilities, in meatpacking plants, and in state prisons, as the number of outbreaks in those venues kept increasing. The governor said she did not believe an executive order would be needed to close the meatpacking plants, calling them essential workplaces. But she announced new measures to test workers at those plants, as well as new measures for long-term care facilities. Meanwhile, last week, Tyson Foods announced it was suspending operations indefinitely at its Waterloo pork processing plant, which is one of the nation's biggest. The Arkansas company also said it would offer coronavirus testing to all its 2,800 employees at the plant while it's closed. Tyson's decision to close the plant came after an employee there died after getting the virus. Meanwhile, Tyson's pork processing plant in Columbus Junction resumed limited operations 2 weeks after it had closed because of a coronavirus outbreak there. About 200 virus cases were tied to the Columbus Junction plant, along with 2 deaths believed caused by the virus. Governor Reynolds said all of Tyson's employees in Columbus Junction had been tested for the coronavirus. In Marshalltown, about three dozen workers tested positive for the coronavirus at the JBS pork processing plant there. Marshalltown Mayor Joel Greer asked everyone to stay home, to congregate in groups of five or less, and to wear protective face masks if they went outside. In Eagle Grove, Prestige Foods of Iowa announced that 16 of its employees at its pork processing plant there had tested positive for the coronavirus. The plant's operations were limited while all its employees were tested. And in West Liberty, 52 employees at a turkey plant tested positive for the virus. And while all this was going on, the federal government said it would help U.S. pork producers find new processors or potentially destroy thousands of pigs that have backed up on farms because so many meatpacking plants have slowed or closed because of the coronavirus. Meanwhile, in Newton, TPI Composites said it would stop production at its Windblade manufacturing plant after 28 of its employees tested positive for the coronavirus. That facility employs more than 1,000 workers. Meanwhile, at least seven inmates at the Polk County Jail tested positive for the virus. At least a dozen prisoners and three staff members at the Iowa Medical and Classification Center in Coralville, a medium security facility, also tested positive. In Sioux City, nine employees of the city's police department, including the chief, tested positive. Officers there are now checked for fever before each shift, and shifts were staggered to further enable social distancing. In Linn County, a sheriff's deputy who works in the county jail tested positive for the virus. 11 other staff members were said to have been exposed to the deputy, but no inmates were believed to be directly exposed to the coronavirus by the deputy. On the jobless front last week, word that nearly 28,000 more state residents had applied for unemployment benefits. That makes nearly 233,000 residents who have filed jobless claims in the past 5 weeks in Iowa, since many businesses were closed in an effort to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Across the nation, word that more than 4 million more people had filed jobless claims. In a related matter, a union official told KCCI-TV that the Prairie Meadows Hotel and Casino will lay off more than 1,000 staff members starting May 3rd. And Unity Point health officials in Des Moines announced a temporary reduction in hours for some employees, along with furloughs and salary reductions. All this because of the virus pandemic. In Iowa City, word last week that the city was offering free face masks to people who must take public transportation there. And there was word that RAGBRAI, the Register's annual great bicycle ride across Iowa, had become a victim of the coronavirus. RAGBRAI was canceled for this year. It will be the first time in 47 years that bikers have not pedaled their way from the Missouri to the Mississippi River in Iowa. RAGBRAI is thought to be the oldest, the biggest, and the longest recreational bicycle touring event in the world. Also canceled last week because of the coronavirus, Iowa City's 2020 Summer Pride Festival and the annual Grand National Rally that Winnebago Industries had planned to hold in Forest City this coming summer. And singer Elton John postponed his Farewell Yellow Brick Road concert that had been set for Des Moines on June 11th. No word on whether or when it might be rescheduled. In Des Moines, the city's Parks and Recreation Department closed the gates and parking lots at the city's most popular park, Grays Lake Park, to encourage social distancing. The park itself and its trails stayed open. Still in Des Moines last week, the Meredith Corporation, which owns and operates national magazines, including People Magazine and Better Homes and Gardens, as well as TV stations, announced pay cuts for 60% of its employees. The reason? Advertising revenue has plummeted because of the coronavirus outbreak. Meredith is headquartered in downtown Des Moines, where it employs about 850 people. On the education front, the State Board of Regents was said to be working toward a plan where all three public universities could be open and operating normally for the fall 2020 semester. They are now all closed. And there was word out of the University of Iowa that a fraternity was under investigation for allegedly holding a party in violation of Governor Reynolds' ban on gatherings of more than 10 people. The social event allegedly involved as many as 50 people, and it included underage drinking. The fraternity is the U of I chapter of Sigma Chi. And Iowa's Secretary of State weighed in on the coronavirus pandemic last week, reminding voters that they can avoid gathering at polling places for the June 2nd primary election in Iowa by voting by mail. Absentee ballot request forms are being sent to every registered voter in the state. Requests for absentee ballots must be received in county auditor's offices by May 22nd. There was other news around the state, news not connected to the coronavirus. There was word that the American Civil Liberties Union had released a report saying that while black people make up about 4% of the population in Iowa, they are 7 times more likely to be arrested on marijuana charges than white people, and 11 times more likely to be put behind bars. The ACLU ranked the state 5th worst on the list of states for racial disparities involving pot arrests. only Montana, Kentucky, Illinois, and West Virginia have wider disparities. Meanwhile, word last week that a homeless man who struck another Des Moines homeless man with a rock and then used the victim's own vehicle to run him down last year had been sentenced to up to 50 years in prison for the death. 22-year-old Dontarius Bomar was sentenced for the death of 69-year-old Charles Childs, who was found dead after he was hit by a car in a Des Moines homeless camp. Still on the court beat, a Des Moines man who was accused of holding his wife captive in a basement as well as beating her was sentenced to up to 40 years in prison last week. 40-year-old Matthew Seitz was arrested last October. And there was word that a former Des Moines County sheriff's deputy had made nearly $7,500 of improper purchases through the sheriff's office. The state auditor's office identified the man as Jeff White, who retired 2 years ago. The county attorney referred the case to the state attorney general's office to decide whether charges should be filed. In Clayton County last week, the State Department of Natural Resources was investigating a triple-digit fish kill that was called uncommon. Dead fish, mostly trout, were found on Bloody Run Creek in the northeast part of the state. DNR officials counted nearly 900 deceased fish, likely killed, those officials said, by a pollutant in the water. Then there was a strange story out of the Blank Park Zoo in Des Moines, which reported that a zebra had died after running into a fence post. Zoo officials said Duchess, a 3.5-year-old mountain zebra, ran into the post at full speed with fatal results. Zookeepers did not know why she did that. One more note before I go, and it's about golf and the coronavirus. Yes, you heard me correctly. Seems that three states bordering Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Wisconsin enforced a no-golf policy under their stay-at-home orders to fight the coronavirus. Well, Iowa did not do that. And so, naturally, golfers from the stay-at-home states have been coming here to Iowa to play a round or two or three of golf. Well, I guess you can say they're trying to stay in the swing of things. And there you have it, my friends, your summary of another consequential week of news from all around Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart, planning to swing right back here on Friday with a look at what makes news around Ames this week. In the meantime, I'll continue to try to stay safe and healthy, and I hope you will too.
got to hold on. You got to hold on.
Alabama Shakes with Hold On. Yes, we will. And thanks to Mr. Dennis Hart, as always, for providing our local news roundup. As I mentioned earlier, Mr. Hart will report on what Governor Reynolds announces this morning when he provides the evening news roundup at 7 p.m. And as I also mentioned earlier, we will not be airing local talk anymore at noon because, due to popular request, we're starting to air programs for families at noon on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, when local talk used to air. Storytelling for the young ones starts right at noon on those days, with more things for children and family in general during the rest of the hour. The Ames Public Library is with you here on KHOI Dune on Wednesdays to tell stories and tell you more about other ways the family can enjoy the library. On Fridays, Ames Police Officer Kruger reads children's stories on the air. Last Friday was his first day doing this, and I will tell you, the little four-year-old right here this little four-year-old totally loves him already. Now, I listened to the whole thing that he read, and I was laughing out loud, something I don't usually do often these days anymore. In fact, I was thinking of asking if he would be my father. Officer Kruger, thank you for joining us on Local Talk to help me introduce your storytelling segment on KHOI.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. You're currently the Community Outreach Officer for Ames Police Department, is that correct?
Yep, Community Resource Officer.
Community Resource Officer. Okay, so I don't think I've ever heard anyone say they want to become a policeman so I can read children's stories. Explain your thinking as the Ames Community Resource Officer.
Yeah, it's not something obviously we originally planned getting in this line of work, but the Ames Police Department, we strive for community policing and doing as much outreach as we can to be part of our community and let our community know that we are there for them. So obviously we're all falling on this time of crisis with the COVID-19 pandemic, and that very limits our abilities and capabilities when it comes to outreach and doing different events in the community. So a few different officers kind of got thinking around of different ways we could try to engage in our community, and we thought, well, what better? The weather's not that great out. Everyone's stuck at home. Let's start reading some books and see if people want to watch our videos of us reading them. And they've taken off and a great hit. So it's been great. We've had a lot of different officers reading books. So we've had them reading in squad cars, around the police department, outside, different spots, just to kind of switch it up. So that way you're at home, you got something to look forward to. If for, you know, 5-10 minutes out of the day, you can sit down as a family, or the little ones can sit in front of a screen and watch a couple police officers read one of their favorite books to them. So it's been a great little project for us overall so far. So we're all hoping to, you know, get through this together and get back to doing our normal outreach and having events and, you know, a little more hands-on contact.
So this, the book reading is really a response to the COVID crisis, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So I'm curious if you could just explain a little bit more. Why did you tune in to children and children's books? You had a lot of things you could have focused on.
Well, again, like I said, it's, you know, I know personally my wife, with the COVID-19 hit her hard with employment, and our kids are at home, so she's primarily having to help with them. So I know the stresses of the being at home with the kids all day and trying to find stuff and have them do schoolwork at the same time. So it was a nice, easy way to target that audience, just to try to help give them a little bit of a break. And plus with the younger generations, it's nice to kind of introduce them to law enforcement and let them know that, you know, we are people and we're not just that cop that's driving that cop car around catching bad guys all day, kind of as that little kids typically think of. So we're kind of helping humanize the badge, in a sense, to let them know that we're more than just a police officer.
He could be that guy who puts you to sleep at night, too, huh?
That is very correct. That is
so
very correct.
You sound like you have children.
Yes, I've got two little boys myself. They're going to be, well, they're what, 7 and almost 9 now. So I've read a lot of books to my children over the years, and I've also missed a lot of nights where I couldn't read books to my children because I was at work.
Yeah.
So,
Well, you clearly have experience with this because you read like somebody who knows how to read a book to a child. Do your children are a little bit out of the range now of, I think, of these books that you're reading, but have they listened to you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
What's the review?
They think it's funny because it's dad reading. They want to know why dad was reading a book online and not out trying to catch a bad guy or doing something else. So they thought it was funny.
So they think you should get back to work, huh?
Yeah, pretty much, I think.
So what is the age range that is, although I have to say, like I was saying before, I'm definitely not a child anymore, but believe me, I was again when I was listening to you reading. But what's the general target age that you're talking to, whether it's in actual age or the adults in us at that age? What age are really we talking to here?
You know, honestly, since we've been doing all these and looking at the views and a lot of the comments, as you said yourself, we've got a lot of comments from people that are older than myself and a lot of other officers on the department that have really looked forward to watching our videos and they love them. And we've got the people that chime in and say their little kids are just loving the videos. It's great. So I think honestly, we've hit about an extremely wide range of people. Which is great. So it's not just the children. It's obviously the adults are getting into it and people that don't have maybe some grandparents too that love telling stories to their grandkids, but their kids are out. So it's nice maybe to hear. You know, the kids' stories is kind of a refresher since they can't be around their little grandkids and nieces and nephews. So it's really honestly hit a pretty wide range by the feedback that we've gotten, which is awesome. So,
yeah, I think on Friday you read one story about a baby pigeon that wanted a puppy.
That's right, Mo Williams.
That was so awesome. I was just standing in the kitchen laughing. It's really beautiful. And one thing you do really well, which we talked about before you started, is that you describe the pictures in the book so that when you listen to the story, you can really see, you know, what's happening. And that's really nice the way you describe what we can see.
That's awesome. See, I never never really described it much. You know, usually when you're reading a book to your own kids, you kind of talk about what's on the page. But
right. Yeah.
Good to see that it's turning out that way.
Well, it's really lovely the way you do it. Did somebody read stories to you when you were young?
Yeah, my parents read to me, and I remember reading a lot to my parents when I was first starting to read. So that was, you know, huge influence. And both my boys now love to read, and they have lots of books. And we got my older son loves telling jokes, so he's always getting joke books running from the library. And when he's at school, bringing jokes home, so he'll sit around and tell jokes. And it's fun. It's a good pastime for the boys, and it's nice to see them reading that and doing that versus other things. So,
well, thank you so much for taking the time to do it with us. Was it different doing it on the radio than it was for Facebook? You started with Facebook, right? That's how we kind of found out about you.
Yeah, we just posted them all to our Ames Police Department Facebook page, so people could see them there, since that's mostly followed by a lot of the people in our community. The doing the one on the radio show on Friday at noon was the first time I've ever read a book over the phone, which is a whole new experience and kind of interesting to get going. But once I get going, I guess it's usually hard for me to stop talking. So it worked out pretty well for me.
Well, thank you so much. And again, Officer Krueger can be heard on Fridays at noon here. And I definitely recommend you check it out. It is a fantastic mental health break for people of all ages to just go there and enjoy the flow of these stories. Obviously, you're doing other things during this time as the community resource officer. Do you have what other type of things are you doing during this time?
Yeah, so I'm still doing a lot with property management companies in our town of Ames. That's a huge portion of my job, is kind of keeping up to date every day with all the property managers, letting them know what's going on at their complexes and any issues that may have arise or things that we think could happen, to stay above the curve, I guess, and catch them before they escalate too much, as well as still looking at other ways of outreach planning, outreach events in the future once we get through this time of pandemic, as well as thinking of other social media type things we can put on our page just to keep people engaged in a little mental health break, like you said, from their daily lives of everyone going through everything right now. So
some of this activity will continue on indefinitely then. It sounds like many of us, you've developed new types of activity that are going to be useful in the future, right?
That is correct. We've all got to adapt to this, obviously. No, we've never gone through anything like this, so we got to stick together and we'll get through it. And it's frustrating, but like I said, you got to be able to adapt and change the ways, clearly. So,
okay, so what are we going to hear you read next Friday on KHOI?
Ooh, that's a mystery. We'll find out later in the week. I kind of leave that up to my kids. I'll say, hey, Dad's got to read some more books, and they'll give me a bunch of books, and we'll see what we can come up with. So that's up to the 7 and 8 year old in my house right now.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Officer Krueger, Ames Community Resource Officer, right? And your children can hear them read storybooks here on KHOI at noon on Fridays. And if you don't have young children, tell somebody else or listen yourself. Believe me, the 4-year-old in you will be very, very happy. And you'll be surprised at how you feel. I really, really enjoyed the mental health break listening to Officer Krueger. And it's good to laugh out loud at a story about a baby pigeon who wants a puppy. So anyway, noon at the noon slot is still open. We're going to be airing syndicated children's stories at that time. But we'd love to have another local story reader. So if you're interested and like to tell stories or read books, write to us at khoiradio@gmail.com, and we will put you on the Monday slot. Thank you, Officer Krueger. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
See you Friday.
You have a great day.
Yeah, bye-bye. So here's a question. How's your hair looking these days? A little ragged, you say? I know I'm not the only one who's been saying, I really need a haircut. So maybe you want to take matters into your own scissored hands. Well, I convinced my hairstylist, Morgan Feltner, to come on Local Talk to help us all out and give us a few tips on how to do that without wrecking how you look. Morgan's salon is Wild Root, which is located in downtown Nevada. And she's agreed to join us by phone to give us some thoughts on how to cut your own hair or maybe give someone else in your household a little sprucing up with the hair scissors. Welcome, Morgan, to Local Talk. Tell us a little bit about Wild Root.
So I have an organic hair salon where I do hair coloring and haircuts, facials, waxing, and nail services now with all certified organic or the cleanest possible alternative.
So this is kind of a specialized area of providing organic products. Why did you go this route?
It is. I started with my search for organic hair care products after I had been using some kind of greenwashed products in the industry, and I had been having skin issues and irritations to them.
What do you mean?
Greenwashed, they were products that I was led to believe were all natural, organically derived. When I did my research and I became educated on what those words mean, I realized that there's a term called greenwashing where they make things sound more organic than they really are. And that was kind of the trap I'd fallen into. And so then I started researching for actually organic products and from beginning to end and how to get those here and make them accessible for everybody so that I could do my job longer without all the chemicals. There's a lot of toxins that they add into traditional color, which help it stay longer. It gives it more pigmented color, which isn't necessary for covering grays or for changing the color of your hair. A lot of those added in ingredients are just left out. They're not necessary.
And so what kind of products are the hair dyes? What are they made of?
All of the ingredients are also made and farmed through an organically certified farm, like lavender, jojoba oils, and are gone through a very vigorous process of kind of their background check to make sure that they are grown a certain way, that they are harvested a certain way, that's sustainable, and that keeps the whole industry as a whole healthier and not just the product that you're getting or the person that you're interacting with in your chair.
And do the products work?
Yeah, you're one of my clients. I feel like they're pretty great. I feel like the color, it covers gray still. It can still lighten you. And above all else, it's ultra conditioning and like superfood for your hair. So I think they're great.
So Morgan, you have a pretty new business. What kind of a response have you gotten to the organic products?
Mostly positive. I started my business in Ames, where there's a lot more resources for eco-conscious living and eco-conscious shopping. So that was a good place to start. And then when I moved to Nevada, they're also kind of just turning on to organic products and organic options and food and lifestyle choices and now coming around to hair salons. So it's been pretty well received. I think it's something everybody's kind of starting to think about nowadays.
Morgan, help us out here. A lot of us are starting to look really shaggy, and we're not looking good in Zoom meetings. So if I wanted to either cut my own hair, try and make myself look a little bit better, or maybe help somebody out in my household, what kind of scissors should I use?
You can use any scissors are going to cut through hair. Kitchen scissors and paper scissors will be a little more stiff, so it'll be hard to cut a straight line. But at any local store, you can go to a local hardware store or the Ben Franklin in Nevada or Walmart, Amazon if you need to order it in. They'll have a basic kit for hair cutting, scissors and combs and a couple clips that you might need.
Let's talk about bangs. What is a tip for being able to cut bangs?
My first tip is when you're cutting any hair on your own head, don't pick it up to cut it. It'll always be shorter when you lay it back down. So for bangs especially, we kind of want to comb them and hold them in our fingers and then chop them, but that's not what you want to do. You want to have them laid flat on your forehead. The best way I've found since COVID's been going on, I saw on YouTube there was a tutorial of someone taping scotch tape across their bangs where they wanted to cut them, and they just cut along the bottom of that tape and cut a very straight line. I thought it was a pretty good solution to trim those up in between haircuts right now.
So they put the scotch tape on top of the bangs?
Yes, they combed their bangs forward and taped horizontally across their bang section and then just kind of cut right along the bottom in small sections in layers so you don't have too thick of a chunk of hair at a time. You want to be able to see through the layer.
And should you make all the layers the same length or should you make the one underneath a little bit shorter?
When you're doing bangs, I would try to make them all the same length, or if anything, to prevent them from getting a little too short, you can cut each layer just slightly longer so you don't have any bounce up when they get dry.
The layer on top is the shortest?
It'll be the longest. It'll be matching just where you comb it down to cut.
The one underneath would be a little bit shorter?
Yes.
And what about the back of your hair? If you have long hair, should you just cut it straight across the bottom or should you cut it in layers?
If it's just to get you by in between haircuts, I would recommend just going along the bottom. It's very difficult to do even layers across the back on yourself. But, I mean, grab a friend or a husband or daughter or son and have them hold the mirror for you. Having two mirrors kind of helps you have eyes in the back of your head. So that would probably be the most helpful if you're going to be trimming the back. And then, yeah, anything over longer than your shoulders, you should be able to trim kind of straight across the back without any major repercussions.
So is there something that you absolutely should not do when you're cutting hair?
You know, I think that just you're living in your house right now. You're tucked away inside. Just go for it. It's going to grow back. You know, there's not too much you can do that can't be fixed. If you'd really mess it up, then just go ahead and schedule an appointment.
So if there's this one piece of hair that's just really bothering you, it's okay just to cut it off.
Yeah. I mean, the times we're living in, it's worth cutting it off for your sanity, and then we can fix it down the road.
Okay. You're doing what a lot of small businesses are doing, gift certificates. Describe a little bit what you're doing and what other businesses are doing to kind of make it through this time of being closed.
Yeah. So I am offering gift certificates that you get a certain discount when you purchase gift certificates. And so that helps me out in the meantime. So that's income for me now. And then that gives you a little extra so that when you come back, and you're able to purchase products or come in for services again, that's kind of my way of saying thank you for keeping me afloat during this time. And lots of, like you said, lots of businesses are doing that right now, or they're giving you gifts with any purchases that you might make during this time when we're shut down for services.
So essentially, a gift certificate would be buying a haircut for somebody else?
Yes, or for yourself. A lot of my clients have been buying a certificate to use at their next appointment. But that way, it keeps me afloat now, and then they might buy, I don't know, products with it or use it for their service down the road.
And most of these certificates for all sorts of small businesses can be found on their website?
Absolutely. On their websites, Facebook pages, all over social media. A lot of people are really promoting them right now.
Okay, so this is one way to keep our businesses alive. And where would people find you, Morgan?
You can find me online at wild-root.com.
Okay, that's wild-root.com. And your hair salon and nail salon is and spa is on 6th Street in Nevada in downtown area. And Morgan, to wrap things up, in the middle of all this, you had a baby too. So you are also really going through the experience of having a newborn baby.
Oh, yes. I'm getting the full stay-at-home mom experience during this time. It's great. It's exhausting, but it's great.
Well, thanks for the tips. Best of luck to you as well as to all of our small businesses in the area. And thanks so much for talking with us, Morgan.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ursula.
Okay, you take care.
Well, I set out to go to work today. Deadlines to meet and bills to pay. Doing something from that spring air called my name. Well, I heard a shout and I heard a yell. And I felt victim to the spell. And I found myself out hunting for a rail. And I guess I can pay my gas bill late. And I won't be eating any steaks. And you can tell my boss to go to hell. Well, I pulled off of the interstate. I'm out there with the Texan snakes. Out there and hunting for a rail. Well, I'm on my hands, I'm on my knees, I'm underneath a dead elm tree. I'm on a southern slope, I'm in the sun. I'm in a trance, I'm in a daze, I'm in a funky fungus haze as I look down and spot my first morel.
I actually look for morels this weekend, but I have not found them yet. I do not have the skill. But I hear they're out there. It is that time. This is Local Talk. I think Pat Schlarbaum is around here somewhere.
Yeah. Hi, Ursula.
Hi, Pat. You have some really nice updates in the area of spring news.
Yes. My neighbor, Mike Metz, we both live northeast of Ames in Milford Township, reported hearing sandhill cranes next to his 7-acre marsh. Now, sandhill cranes, they are nesting in Iowa once again since 1992. Here in central Iowa, it's pretty special. But just to hear them was a great report, and we'll be following up on that after local talk. Gonna see how another pair, possibly in Story County. Sandhill Cranes are gracing our skies with their presence and their calling.
Yeah, they're calling.
Yeah.
There's something to hear, right?
A primordial call.
Sounds That's like a very big machine is breaking down.
Yeah, something like that.
Talk about the ospreys.
Yes, in Nest Cam on the Iowa DNR site, if you Google Iowa Osprey Cam, it'll take you to a place in Wells Fargo, headquarters in West Des Moines. And yesterday there was a female has joined a male on a nest platform that has a camera.
Now this is on the Wells Fargo Bank building?
It's not a bank building, but it's their parking lot area. But it's a big headquarters, pretty big complex, quite a campus with ponds.
So where's the nest?
And it's on the south side of the parking lot.
So the Wells Fargo building has a pond, right?
There are some ponds and some landscaped areas of gardens, and they're on a platform on a pole. They like unobstructed ability to drop down onto a nest platform. So branches and trees and those type of things just don't really work. Cell phone towers have been shown to be ideal.
So why is this tower there?
When the headquarters was under construction, there was a big, huge crane, and a pair of ospreys started carrying sticks and placing it on the counterweights of this big crane, a big parallel crane to the surface about 50 feet up.
They build a nest on a counterweight to a crane. Doesn't that go up and down?
No, it was parallel, so it just revolved back and forth.
So it just revolved, and that didn't bother the birds?
That, that parallel crane arm. From falling away, so it had to be balanced.
And it didn't bother the birds that it was like
moving
around?
The birds would ride the crane while it was in operation. they adapted to it completely, and that was their concern initially was nesting birds have a priority. They have rights, and they were concerned that, if there's a nest on it, then are we going to be able to move the crane? And we said after the ospreys migrate in September, if we remove the crane then, it won't be considered harassment, and by placing a platform on a pole, when they come back, they might just think that that's exactly what they want, and that's what's happened in the last 4 years.
So the same birds came back to you?
Well, they were coming. They were the same birds, but then last year there was only the male, and apparently the female did not survive the migration, and they go all the way to Central and South America, quite a few to Venezuela. It was not an active site last year. So this spring, the male returns first part of April, just like they would in any migratory pattern. It quite likely is the male from previous years. There's no guarantees. He's not banded or anything. But with his attention to that platform, first part of April, he had a mission. And this year he has attracted probably a female who has not nested anywhere else, that she's probably 4, maybe 5 years old. And
you actually have the cam open here in front of us.
Oh, and that's there's the male.
A really pretty looking little bird.
Yeah.
He's not that little, actually.
Yeah.
He's gorgeous. He's got a white stomach and kind of a white mask on his face. And he's just kind of sitting there looking around. What is he doing?
He's carrying sticks and corn stalks and sprigs of pine. I can identify him as the male because there's an absence of necklacing. The female, when she comes, she'll be slightly larger, and there'll be speckling across her neck. But she was there earlier today.
So in other words, he found somebody. So he built this
nest. Or he attracted. And today they're carrying sticks. They've added to this this nest. And the items are really kind of comical in some regards. You can find anything from little scraps of tarp to fishing buoys or anything that's associated with water. A lot of times end up in these nests.
Yeah.
It is exciting that this site that has the camera, but she needs to get right with laying eggs, and they're under a bit of a time crunch now in that she'll lay eggs and then incubate them for 37-38 days. There'll be hatchlings, and then it takes about 7 weeks for those little hatchlings to mature into flight stage, but that puts it in July when the flies kind of become an issue. So a late start is concerning. Black flies were an issue last year on eagle nests and some of the osprey nests, but life is unfolding.
Well, he's very pretty, and it's the Osprey Cam can be seen again where?
It's at the Iowa Osprey Cam is what people can Google, and it will take you there. Just scroll down the page, and it'll have a little icon to bring it up. And
well, that's exciting, and hopefully that means that this summer we'll be able to see some of the really dramatic fishing going on in that little pond.
Yeah, and actually there's a big pond where they do a lot of fishing at the Jordan Creek Mall. So they're part of the Jordan Creek Mall.
Okay, thank you, Pat. And it's really worth checking the cam out. They're very pretty birds.
Yeah.
I think he's very beautiful. He's looking very proud of himself right now.
Yeah,
and and watching them fish is really something else. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yep.
And we have Anna Banana with us, right, Anna?
Yes, Anna Banana here.
Anna Banana, Brad, what is the word for today?
Well, first I just wanted to say I love today's program. Not that I don't love every program, but what a lot of great information. And also I wanted to give a shout out to both you, Pat, and Mike for doing an amazing job hosting the virtual Eco Fair this weekend.
Thank you.
I tuned in and it was fabulous. So thank you so much for that. And then I want to say also thank you to Morgan because I actually used my dog scissors to clip my hair, which was not a good idea. So I wish I had her tips before. And then, I know it looks terrible. And then also, I also love the interview with the community resource officer, Kurt Kruger. And I can't wait to tune in this Friday to figure out what his book will be. And I'm told that I'm old, but I'm really immature, so I'm going to love listening to that show on Friday. But Ursula, you and I talked last night a little bit by prepping for the show, and I was talking a little bit about my nieces. And so we started a book club, my sister and my mom and I, to help our nieces stay educated and entertained. So we're reading Esperanza Rising right now, which is a really good book. And then yesterday I dropped off a bunch of items for my nieces to stay entertained, including pickleball equipment, kites, jacks, and a couple of yo-yos. And I just was thinking a lot about how children are dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. But we're all doing our job, including the community resource officer, KHOI, and yes, Auntie Anna Banana Bread, also doing our job to help take care of our children. So I think about, in the heart-to-heart messages, I think about how much joy it brings me to be Auntie Anna Banana Bread. But also made me happy to get permission from Sunny Camp, who is executive director of the Story County Community Foundation and a new mama, to read her newborn baby's heart-to-heart message that was shared earlier this month. Hello, world. My name is William, Liam Joseph Camp. I threw my parents for a loop and decided I was ready to start my adventure on April 2nd. Yes, 3 weeks early, which is great for my parents, who are both big planners. I was prompt based on my schedule, arriving at 12:23 p.m. at 19 inches, 6 pounds, 1.4 ounces. I've got a lot of growing to do. I'm loving my daily routine of sleeping, eating, and snuggles. My parents tell me there's a lot of uncertainty going on with this COVID-19, and while there are a great many of you that I need to meet, I'm sending virtual hellos until we can meet in person. I hope everyone is staying safe and healthy. And then this message is from Liam's mom, Sunny. Your arrival has been welcomed with an abundance of blessings, dirty diapers, love, learning, growth, and snuggles. Right alongside the struggles, fear, anxiety, emotions, and uncertainty that comes with new beginnings and the current state of our world. Thank you for reminding us to take each day with grace, to embrace gratitude for all things big and small, and for continuing to overflow our hearts with love, fun, and memories to be cherished forever. So thank you, Sunny and Liam, for these heart-to-heart messages. Liam, welcome to the world, and Sunny, welcome to motherhood. And keeping with this theme, Priscilla Stapleton, who is a parenting blogger, sent in this heart-to-heart message. Creating childhood memories for your children is one of the most important jobs of parenting. Here's a creative idea for a weekend activity for you and your children to do, no matter what season of the year it is, or current circumstances such as COVID-19. Why not have a camp in instead of setting up a tent outside? Build a fort out of sheets and blankets in your family room. Have your children help you build a fort where they can play during the day, and then bring out the sleeping bags and flashlights for the night. Share stories from your childhood with your children. Encourage them to ask questions about their relatives and their family history. It might be fun to share stories about what games you played as a child or the types of movies you saw. I may be dating myself, but I can remember going to the movies and actually having an intermission. We spend so much time rushing from one activity to another or being distracted by our electronic devices. It might be nice for at least one night to turn everything off and just focus on family time. So thank you, Priscilla, for this heart-to-heart message filled with great ideas and advice. And I think I'm going to use this heart-to-heart message to help me create some childhood memories for my nieces when I'm able to be back in their same proximity. So if you would like to respond to any of these messages, I invite you to call or text me or leave a voicemail at 515-809-0077. Or if you have a heart-to-heart message you like read on air, again, leave me a voicemail message and a banana at 515-809-0077. Or you can email me at kho@gmail.com and put heart-to-heart in the subject line, please. I think I might have put too many sevens in there, Ursula. You'll have to correct me if I'm got three sevens in there.
give the number again to text a message.
Okay. So more caffeine, Anna Banana. 515-809-0077. And that email address is khoiradio@gmail.com. So we hope that our heart-to-heart messages inspire you to connect to our community, and thank you for letting us share what's in your heart during this time. And from the bottom of our hearts, KHOI and Anna Banana, thank you for listening, and we send out our love to each of you.
And thank you, Anna Banana Bread. We really appreciate having you with us, as always. And you've been listening to Local Talk. I've been your host, Ursula Rudenberg. Thank you for being with us for this past hour. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. And also remember that you can hear a recording of this show later today online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests that you heard during the program. Also, remember that KHOI is streaming live online at KHOI-FM, so you can tell your friends and relatives who are out of the listening area that they can also hear it on their telephone or their computer. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. And we also heard Hold On by Alabama Shakes, Brittany Howard. Fantastic voice. Remember that you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Please keep listening. Please support us if you can by going to khoifm.org to make a donation. And thank you for listening. We will see you again on the radio.